Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that you've richly given to us through the works of redemption. Today, God, as I open my mouth to dispense your truth, may this light permeate the souls of men, illuminating and dematerializing every ignorance in their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Let this light ground them in the truth. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen and amen. Welcome back. This day three, we are talking about giving. And I want us to look at the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul is saying the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And he continues further in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ is, the body is dead of because of sin, and the Spirit is alive or is life through because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. The believer in Christ is indwelt by the Spirit. And this is a very important thing to note whenever you think of your identity as a believer, that I have the Spirit of God indwelling me. The Spirit of God is residing in me. So the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of life, is the Holy Spirit. So in essence, the believer is a man in Christ and has the very nature of God, has the very nature of Christ. In John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the Spirit of life, it means the Spirit of Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 16 from verse 12, he talks that it is prudent, it is good that I leave so that the Comforter will come. Let's just rush there. John chapter 16, verse 12. Look at this. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all the truth. So the Spirit of truth, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth. So it is the Spirit of Christ. When he has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. Remember, Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of the Father. I cannot do anything except what I see my Father do. Let's rush to John chapter 5. Just put your finger there. Yes, we are talking about giving. John chapter 5, verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. So the witness that Jesus was bearing is the witness of the Father. There's another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he bears of me is true. So the truth, which is Jesus, is about the witness that the Father has about Jesus. Look at verse 33. You have sent to John, and he has a borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and the shining lamp, and you are willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish. So I bear witness of myself. My witness is not true. If I bear witness, then he says, the one who bears, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. There's another who bears witness of me. So Jesus saying, there's another who bears witness of me. Then he says, verse 36, but I have greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish. So what was the witness of Jesus? The works which the Father had given him to do. So those works bear witness of Jesus that the Father has sent him. So the witness that Jesus was producing in his works on the cross was the evidence of him being sent by the Father. Without those works, then he doesn't have evidence. So the evidence we have as Christians is the works of Christ on the cross. And that is why Jesus says, he will take what is of mine. He will not say his own things. He will take what is of mine. What is of Jesus? The works of the Father. What the Father had fulfilled. That is what the Holy Spirit witnesses to us. So he says, if the Spirit of truth abides in you, he will witness of the works of the Father. And that works of the Father is confirming my identity in the Father. And that identity in the Father gives me boldness to approach the throne of grace so that I can receive mercy and grace. So this boldness I have today is not based on my works, but what the Father has done. So it is important for every believer to know that the nature of the Father has granted me the boldness, that this nature is the Spirit of God, and this nature is what declares me to be the Son of God, not my works. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. How did we receive the spirit? We believed in Jesus. When we believed, we received the spirit. Now, when those who believe, he says that he will indwell them by his spirit, who is witnessing concerning the works Jesus has done. So the cry within of Abba Father, according to Romans 8:15, whereby we cry, Abba Father, we relate with God as Father. That cry is based on the works God has done. The reason why Jesus came is that he might witness, he might confirm the testimony of God here on earth. And that testimony is in the works of God. And those works of God was to cause man to see God as a Father and not an enemy. So it is important for us to look at that we see God as our Father and not our enemy. Then he continues further, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children. So what is that witness? He will take what is of mine and reveal them to you. How be it when the Spirit of truth will come, he will take what of mine and reveal it to you. So that revelation of the Spirit of God is the revelation of Jesus in our lives, who has accomplished the works by bringing peace. Bringing peace, Romans chapter 5 verse 1, bringing peace between God and man through his justification. So that peace makes man no longer hides from God, and that man will stand and say, God is my Father. Therefore, when Jesus said that they should be merciful as their Father is, what we read yesterday in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Then in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, be ye therefore merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Jesus was actually pulling a character of God that indwells, the character of God that is our reality today, to be demonstrated among his people. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, it is evident that Jesus was teaching us the reality of a born-again man, of a Christian, which is the new creature in Christ Jesus. He was teaching how this person in Christ Jesus is no longer subject to the law of Moses, but is subject to the law of the Spirit. That is the indwelling. So we are subject. We are no longer guided by the laws of Moses. We are guided by the law of the Spirit, who is indwelling man, revealing to man who Christ is, or witnessing to man about the works Christ has done. And those works of Christ have given me a new identity in God as a son of God. So I need to reflect, ooze out that which is already imbued in me. In the laws of Moses, what happened is people were working to prove. In the law of the Spirit, we have been approved in God, So we are producing what has been approved by God. So a believer should not be chasing the outside, but should be constantly cautious of what has happened, so that you know God, you see, God has made me his son. So I am not trying to make things to become God's son. All I need to do is act, manifest as a son of God. And that is very, very critical. So the fact that all men enjoy blessings, back to giving. And this is something that I'll throw out there. Despite Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus did not come to give us money. He came to give us eternal life. That is something you need to take to the bank, come back with it and take it again until it trickles into your blangata, into your mind, that Jesus did not come to give us money. Jesus was not a politician. Jesus was not coming to look for funds. Jesus' intention was to give you an identity by believing what he has done. That is, the gospel is a testimony of what Christ has done. In this gospel, we receive strength to be bold. We receive strength to declare the things of God. We receive strength to stand firm. So that reality should persuade us to know that Jesus' intention of coming was not for material things. In fact, before the coming of Jesus to the Israelites, the Babylonians were wealthy. The Romans were wealthy. When you look at Paul preaching, he's preaching to mighty men in the land. When you look at the book of Acts, you look at what Peter is doing, you look at all these people in the synagogue and those who are in government offices. Look at this queen of Sheba. She had gold and everything, but she did not have Jesus. So Jesus did not come to give us money. Jesus came to give us eternal life. Because if we equate the blessings of God to how wealthy I am in the material world, then I have missed it. It's like I am auctioning the name of Jesus on the best bidder. And yet Jesus did not come to auction his name on the best bidder. Jesus came so that everyone, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord, whoever believeth in him shall not perish. It's anyone, everyone, anywhere. You believe, you get the access. So Jesus' intention was to give us life, not material blessing. I'm saying this, repeating several times, so that you can ingest in your mind that when I go to church, I'm going to discover what Jesus has done. That is the testimony of Christ according to scriptures. And that is the reality. So this will help you stop playing a transaction kind of God. I've given you this so that I can give you this. It's like betting with God, doing a pata-potea strategy with God. So that is very, very important, so that every man, every woman, when they work, they earn. And that earning is based on their input. I know there are instances where your input is not equal to the appreciation you're getting at the end of the day. Why? Because there's a favor that has come. But you know what? It is God has given favor to that, given you favor before that man. But now that man is the one who is giving you cash or giving you money or material. See, like when you go to church and you find somebody's giving you a logbook, it is because God has instructed that man specifically to do so. Don't start a stereotype kind of thinking that money is found in church. And I've seen many hurt because of that. So every man enjoys material blessing. And this shows you it is God is constant. He does not look for mistakes. What we read in James chapter 1 verse 5. So the believer who is the man of God or the son of God who is indwelt by the Spirit ought to love and care for men the same way, because That is our nature. Whether the person has money or doesn't have money, our nature is constant. That is why Jesus says, give expecting nothing in return. Give expecting nothing in return. When you read the book of Luke chapter 6, what we've read, verse 35 to 38, and you read verse 35, but you love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the high. So giving not with conditions, not as a transaction, I'm giving expecting nothing. And that is the character of God. This is because when you give expecting something in return, it means that you are not producing the character of God, which is the love. The character of God is love. Love is unconditional. Love does not put conditions. So when I'm giving, love should always be my drive. And that is where we miss it. He says God gives liberally and upbraideth not. He does not look for mistakes. So every believer should get this character of God, the willingness to give, and the fact that I'm giving, I'm not looking at the mistakes or trying to look at things that will actually hinder me to give with a whole heart. If I'm supposed to give somebody 1,000, I don't look at the way they are dressing. I say, hey, you can't manage 1,000 bob, so I reduce it to 100. No, I give liberal without looking at the way the person is, without looking at many things that we put as human conditions. I just give liberally. And that is the position when it comes to giving. Giving out of love will always help you produce the character or act according to the character of God. So we looked yesterday at the rich man who came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21 to 24. He comes to Jesus, says, I've kept my many commandments. Jesus, I've kept everything. I'm clean. I need eternal life. Then Jesus says, go sell everything and give to the poor, and you will have the treasure of heaven, and come follow me. So Jesus is saying, kill the treasures that you've put. Your heart is in what you possess. I want your heart to be possessed by me. So go sell, give to the poor. Then the man, hearing this, without even asking, or he just walked away. And that is a position of believers. We come in church, but our faith is not in what God is or who God is, but our faith is in the material we have, in the material possession, in the money we have at the pocket. We've not actually given our heart to God. We are using enticement of the material things as a way to trust God. So in other words, the trust of this person was the riches, the possession, but not God or the Word of God or Son of God. So Jesus was teaching this young man something. He said, give to the poor. He didn't say give to people. He said, give to the poor. In other words, give to the people that in the long run, they will not be in a position to give it back to you. So it is very, very, very important to look at that. And you look at the story of Zacchaeus in the book of Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus said that he was going to give half of his good to the poor and restore in fourfold what he had acquired falsely. So looking at this discussion, when you look at this discussion, you find that Jesus' intention or view of this was one thing about giving to the poor, expecting nothing. I like a man of God who said that this is a display. Jesus was trying. Every story in the Bible, especially the four Gospels, is pointing to a something specific. You see, like Zacchaeus, he was standing on a tree, and Jesus said, I will give half of what I possess to the poor, I will return fourfold. So the focus of Jesus in the discussion was about salvation. Look at verse 19 of Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 19, verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." So what was Jesus' storyline? Is about salvation, seeking and saving that which was lost. Then look at that in Matthew chapter 2, clearly tells us about this wise man who came to worship Jesus. And we find that this is a place where Jesus is receiving gifts, of course, through Mary. And it's important for us to know that when it comes to giving gifts, these wise men, they gave according to their culture and tradition. They gave overwhelmingly. And does it mean that Jesus took and ate the gift? No. They appreciated Jesus in a manger through the parents. So the parents received the gift. So you find that this wise men walked all the way to give to Jesus. And when you look at that, in Matthew chapter 27, about Joseph of Arimathea, that rich man, he was also a Jesus disciple, requested to Pilate to give him Jesus' body in order to bury him in his tomb. This is the fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah 53 from verse 9. And you look at that, so the description of all this was to point us on something. That when you give out of love, that is like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When you look at the crowd, the young boy willingly gave the two loaves. The two fishes and five pieces of loaf, he gave that willingly out of love. So it is important for us to understand that if love does not drive your giving, then it means your trust is not in the word of God. Your trust is in the material or the possessions of things you have. So stick to this reality that I have to be driven by love when it comes to giving. I have to give wholesomely. Let's look at Martha in Luke chapter 5 verse 33, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed Simon, and prayed him that he will thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of it. Simon gave the ship to be used by Jesus willingly. Jesus wanted to use it to teach. Look at that woman who came, Martha, and received Jesus into their home. And look at what he gave them food to eat. So it was out of willingness. So it is important to know that giving is done with a willing heart. What you are willing to give, give according to how God has prospered you, according to the love of God. You know, something amazing, I sit down and I ask myself several times is, a stingy person is just a stingy person. You're just stingy. You're just looking for an opportunity to confirm your stinginess. You know, I had somebody on social media who told me they were in a discussion some time back, and in the discussion, there's a pastor who was saying you don't need to give your offering to any man of God because Jesus has done everything. You, in fact, Leviticus tells us you need to eat your tithe. So I asked a question. If you're saying Jesus has done everything and you're telling this person to eat the tithe, does it mean the Bible is contradicting itself? You know, it is good to be excited about some things, but it's good to sit down and be taught. Paul, as eloquent and all the revelation he had, he encountered Jesus. according to the book of 9, in Acts chapter 9, while going to Damascus. But how do you see? He went and sat down at the feet of Gamaliel. He was trained thoroughly. He meets Timothy. He trains Timothy. He trains Titus and tells Timothy, whatever you've received, also train other faithful men who are able to speak the same. So this gospel is about training. Stop Googling and running with everything left, right, center in the name of revelation, and you don't have a grounding. You want to be in the statistics. You are a Christian, but the truth is you are actually heckling or making noise without ground. I look at Pentecostals, me included, quote unquote, whereby we are the most deep theologians when it comes to doctrine, and we want to be in every discussion so that we can prove how mighty in scriptures we are, trying to be an Apollos of this day, mighty and eloquent in scriptures, at the expense of grounding ourselves on truth. So we argue to win, we argue to oppose, we argue to fight. We don't discuss to agree and disagree. We don't discuss to bring forth understanding. Peter says, avoid those preaching that will raise questions because they are not building anyone. Paul tells so. Avoid them because they are not building anyone. They are actually defaming the gospel. So it is important to know where to toe the line, what to say, what not to say. Kill excitement and learn to sit down. Every person who does not have a local church is a danger, is a time bomb waiting to explode. So from all these discussions, we find that Jesus in his teachings did not prescribe a percentage by which people should give. Those who gave him, they gave him willingly. They did it out of volition. They did it out of love. It was a free willing. We've seen the alabaster oil being busted. We've seen the Joseph of Arimathea. We see the wise men. We see Peter giving the boat to Jesus. All these people, it was out of willingness. Look at when he was doing the Passover, he sends these people and asks for a room, and it was out of willingness. They gave willingly. Zacchaeus gave willingly. So it is important for us to know that Jesus was not focused on the percentage, but the heart of man. The heart of man. So people gave without duress. They were not squeezed. Say, like, this is the hour of planting the seed for your breakthrough. This is the moment to stir up the gift of God through your giving. This is the moment you've been waiting for. God wants to do great and mighty things. God wants to stir the environment. That is scheming. That is a scam. All this conversation we look at to Jesus, we find that the willingness of the heart is what provoked people to give. They didn't give because they were pushed by any circumstance other than the love of God. So in your giving today, let me throw this to you. Free your heart and give from volition. Give with love what you've purposed in your heart. And when you look at your heart, is when you know, is God owning you or owning your heart, or its possessions that are owning your heart? You need to be intentional. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul tells you need to set aside. Let's not come and start. Set aside. Do you intentionally purpose what to give before you get to church? I'm okay with a church. When you get to church is when you start looking at your pocket for pocket change. You start looking at things that are not adding up. Are you intentional? Do you have the church payment details? That during the week, because you love God so much, you can just wake up on Monday and you say, this is my love offering to God. This is my love offering. Because church needs money. Church needs money. The gospel needs money. It's very expensive. It is freely given, but dispensing it is very expensive. The person preaching has to move different places. Training disciples is very expensive. Doing things that we ought to do is very expensive. We don't wish. We have to pay. You have to pay transport. You have to get fuel. You have to pay bills. In a church, there are bills to be paid. So, is your love-driven offering equal to the prosperity God has given you? If God has died on the cross for you, He has told you you don't have to die. All you have to do is believe. Then here comes up an opportunity of you being a blessing to the ministry. You start backbiting, talking ill, talking all manner of things. All pastors are eating tithe. I ask you, where do you want them to eat now? They have given themselves to doing ministry. Support them. And one thing I tell people, when you've given your offering, stop following through to see what is happening or how it will be used. If your heart is giving out of love, you don't have anything to question. In fact, you'll be joyous that your pastor has received the offering. And that shows that you have given from a heart of that is full of love. And that is how blessings flow. When you look at all those people, they gave without duress. They were not pressured. They were not squeezed. They gave to support His ministry, the ministry of Jesus. And this was from a willing heart. And that is what Jesus is teaching and instructing us, because all these places where giving happened, Jesus was available. And mark you, look at this. Jesus did not focus, oh glory, except that widow. Jesus did not focus on what they have given. When Peter gave him the boat, he went aside and preached. We don't hear, now Peter, that you've given this boat, you'll be blessed. You will fish this, you will do this. No. When you have the right attitude towards the things of God, when you give towards the ministry, you will not be struggling, waiting, oh, Pastor, speak a word. No. You'll be saying, I've given with a clear heart, with a clear intention. That alone, the love of God in me, confirms that God who is with me has given me strength. That love gives me the testimony of Jesus. I'm saying, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have eternal life. So Jesus is a confirmation of the love of God. And so Jesus is a testimony, is the testimony template of the love of God. And this testimony template of the love of God, in John chapter 5, he says, God has the greater witness, and that greater witness is the works God sent Jesus to do. So it means the love of God is defined by the works of God. So when I see the works of Jesus, I see the love of God. And that is the witness, that is the testimony that is above human testimony. And that testimony is true, that Christ died for me. And that testimony, when I hold on to it, it's what the Spirit is constantly speaking to me. So what does the Holy Spirit speak to me, testify to me about Jesus? That God loves you. The love of God is abound. The love of God is pure. The love of God is strong. You are better. The love of God is available. So it means that constantly the Spirit of God is reminding me of the love of God. And as I grow in my conscience and sensitivity to the love of God, I become spiritually mature. And in this maturity, I am not struggling with material things. In fact, I'm looking for opportunity to be a blessing towards the kingdom of God. So it is very, very, very important that we Allow the love of God to drive us. Allow the love of God to drive you. Allow the love of God to speak for you. Allow the love of God to be louder than the love of men. Allow the love of God to conquer every circumstance, every situation, everything that even your pocket, let the love of God conquer. You say, oh, love your enemy as you love yourself. You need to treat people well. But you're not giving. You're very stingy. You and that person who is not loving the other person, you are in the same boat. What am I trying to tell somebody? A person who truly loves does not struggle to give. When God says, love your enemy, it means that when I find a need to a person who did me wrong, I'm a lady, maybe I was raped, I find this person and needs help, I don't start, you remember, because of the love of God, I'm using that to pull your leg and stretch you. Because of the love of God, I'm going out of my way to make sure this person is okay. Somebody who did me wrong, because of the love of God. You know, in my life picked a U-turn, a great, great turn of how to love others. During the Kenyan 2007 skirmishes, I will never forget. I remember the late Ken, who was for the Human Rights Eldoret. He took me and told me, I want you to help me just take clips of these places, the videos. So I was walking. Then I went to a place where the skirmishes were rampant. And the people came, they were different tribes, they came on board and sat down. It was like doing mediation for these teams. I will never forget. Not one, not two, not three, I saw a lot of wazee who stood up and gave their story. Mzee says, I had properties. All of it right now is ashes. I don't know where to start. But I forgive these people because God has taught me since I was a child to learn how to forgive. It's the hardest thing. But today, I release them and he breaks down. Another one comes and says, you see this man here is my neighbor. And he knows. He's the one who pointed people where I was hiding with my family. They came and lit the place fire. All my family, including my wife and children, were burned beyond recognition. They all died. All I've buried is ashes. But today I'm praying to God. I don't know. Right now I don't have a seed that I can count on. I'm praying to God to help my heart heal faster. But I tell my neighbor, I forgive you. Oh, I was taking the video clip. I left the camera there. I was young. I went somewhere. I told the late Ken, I told him, sir, can I, excuse me, let me rush to the washroom, I'm coming. I went and cried as a baby. I said, God, I don't know what it means to forgive. I don't know. I don't know what it means to forgive. Teach me how to forgive people. That picture still fresh. Another one says, this neighbor of mine sent people so that they can take over my shamba. I am a farmer, but they chopped all my hands. And he was like, I've sat in my heart and I've decided to live with him as my neighbor and just forgive him. And they hugged. Oh, Jesus. I said, I don't know. I don't know forgiveness. And I said, God, teach me how to love. Teach me how to love again. I will never forget that. That was the biggest turnaround of my life. That was the moment I changed the way I see people. You know, at times people say, but you know, people do wrong, you just forgive them, you just move on. It's because until today, I can't figure in my head, in my system, that you have your family burnt down, your house property, you don't have a place to stay, and you still wake up and say, and one hand is burnt because you're trying to save your people, but it couldn't because of the fire. And you're coming to stand and say, you know what? I forgive my neighbor. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'm telling you this to see the magnitude of love. Love changes everything. Personally, I can give anything. I can give anything. Of course, not my wife, but I can give anything. So that my brother, my sister can be okay. I can sacrifice even the last portion of meal I have so that somebody else can feel okay. Because I learned, I was raised that day, but that 2007, I will never forget. In that when God told me to move towns and come to the city, I had my things, so I was thinking of how I'll transport them. I thought about a shuttle, everything was. Then God wakes me up early in the morning. Give everything. Everything. I sat on my bed and asked questions. I said, God, give me a scripture. Because it was very radical. I got the scripture, Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 22. I'll never forget that. See, Abraham did not stagger. He had hope against hope. And I came to Nairobi. I remember calling the people that I was with in church, told them we came at. Then after eating, I told them, I want you to look in this house for anything that you like. As you leave, go with it. Be it clothes, be it mattress, be it seats, be it the bed, be it whatever you like. Pick it and leave. Because tomorrow morning, I'll be leaving very early and I'll be gone. I don't want to leave people in chaos. I came to the city with three clothes of four and a blanket. And the rest is history. I'm saying this just to ask you, do you really love God to a place whereby if He asks today for you to give that thing that you treasure the most, is it a car, is it a house, whatever material possession you have, do you love God so much that if God tells you give out that house, you'll not question? Even without God telling you, can you walk into a service and give out your title deed because you love God? You're saying, I want to see this ministry progress, I want to see this ministry grow, so I am giving this out of volition. God, I give this because I love you. I'm giving this because I want the kingdom to progress. There's somebody somewhere who has not heard the gospel. And if my title deed is what will make this person hear the gospel, I am giving it. Why? Your love for the things of God is what is driving you. The love for the things of God. The love to see the message go beyond. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the rest of these shall be added. The reason why we struggle to get addition is because we are driven not by love, but our motives are wrong. But when love is driving you, things are added. They are not holding or taking charge of your heart. But the love of God has conquered everything in you. So even if they come, even if they bring logbooks, they bring titles, they bring all manner of things, you are not scared that if I give, I will lack. No. You're not scared because you know the kingdom of God demands this. My responsibility is to walk and act the way God wants me to act. My responsibility is to advance the kingdom of God. So my agenda is one. God brought it so that it can be used for the kingdom. I'm told of a testimony of a man of God who they had to change even the title deed and write in the names of the children and the wife, because you give him the title deed and he finds a need for ministry, he will not think twice. I think I can fall in that category. He will not think twice. So the head, the wazee of Kanisa, the elders of the church decided, if we don't do like this, this man will be giving everything. Where your mind and heart is lost to kingdom, to God's agenda. It doesn't mean you are irresponsible. It just means that, you know what? God have given you everything. Today, I ask you, are you still alive with what you possess? Are you still being driven with what you possess? Or is the love of God driving you? Is the love of God conquering your heart? Has it conquered your heart? Or it is material, it's the possessions you have that has conquered your heart. That if today you wake up and your car is not working, you are cursing everyone. You are cursing even the devil. You are cursing, speaking everything. Because these things have taken charge over you. And you know, when not to be irresponsible, but how to get these things is how you treat others. Because you can't love God beyond how you love others. Love your enemy as you love. It was not so in the beginning. Matthew chapter 19 verse 8. Moses told you so, but it was not so in the beginning. But because of your hardness of heart. How to know your heart is hardened or is inclined to material things is how you act and treat people. You're driving and somebody brushes you. You open the door with every curse word and you're a worship leader. You are an intercessory leader, quote unquote, intercessory. Wale wa kuongoza maombi. You are an intercessory leader. You wake up and you are cursing everyone, declaring, scaring even the devil. He's like, what? Hey, I am wicked, but that is another level of wickedness. Before you come back to your senses, you've released everything. Your heart is loaded with a lot of bitterness, a lot of hatred, a lot of unresolved issues. And they were just waiting for an opportunity for you to burst. You'll tell people, I'm okay, but let us meet you when things are not working. And the person who has caused an issue, brought a heart or a change of game in your life is just nearby. You'll be cursing everyone left, right, center. Cursing everyone left, right, center. And that is when I will tell you there are unresolved issues in your heart that you need to address them. How do you address them? Allowing the word of God to shine in your heart. Yes, you are born again, but your heart is carrying a lot of chaff. That's why in Ephesians, washing them with the word of God. So husband, wash your wives with the word of God. Then he continues, he says, this is a picture of Christ and the church. So the church is being washed by the word of God, which is from Jesus, that word of God. The witnessing, the testimony of Christ is what washes our hearts. This glorious gospel of light should shine in our hearts and putting away every manner of darkness. In him was light, and this light, in him was life, and this life was the light of men that darkness cannot comprehend. So you need that darkness to shine off. Allow the word of God to shine in your heart. And that word of God is the love of God. When you have the love of God shining in your heart, all those unresolved issues disappear. And your love conquers you. So you will not struggle. You will not look at the smallest denomination of coins or notes, you know. So you'll not look at the lowest value to give as an offering. You'll come prepared. Say, I have 1,000. I know going to church and coming back is 200. So this 200 is for my fare to and fro. But I'm going to church. I can't give God 100 more. I'll give God my 500 shillings. Because there's an assignment that needs to be accomplished. And because I love God, be a generous giver. Give out of love. Not in percentages. Give out of love. And you will see the goodness of God manifesting in you like never before. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let love ooze out. Let love drive your giving. Let love drive your motive. Let love be the king in your heart. And God will be glorified, because your light will so shine. And men will see and say, this man is full of the love of God. And they will say, praise God. Paul says, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Thanks be to God. Father, I thank you for every person who's listened to this today. May the love of God conquer our hearts when it comes to giving. May the generosity in our heart be guided and be infused and be strengthened by the love of God. Those unresolved issues in our hearts today, Father, we allow the word of God, the light of God, to shine over them and do away every manner of darkness. We forgive our relatives. We forgive those we've called as enemies. We've forgiven even our business partners, people who have stolen from us, those who have raped us, those who have done major wrongs. They have killed our loved ones. We forgive them. Today we release them from our hearts, and we allow Jesus to be enthroned in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.